guys. Welcome back to OTTB on Tap. I'm Neve.
And I'm Emily. Hey, Neve, what's on tap today?
Today, we're kicking off Volume 6 of OTTB on Tap Evaluates, our monthly deep dive into listener-submitted thoroughbreds. And I have to say, this group might not be flashy to look at, but don't let that fool you.
Yeah, all three of this month's horses are plain bays, but they each come with some really impressive pedigrees. We've got powerful hindquarters, elegant shoulders, and bloodlines that shout second career potential. So whether you're into eventing, jumpers, or just love a good sport horse type, this is a lineup you're going to want to hear about.
Before we jump into this week's contenders, let's take a quick look back on Volume 5 because we heard from a few of the owners we featured and their reactions were really fun to read. Okay. From Heather, Arazi's Honors owner. Ooh, that was a little tricky to say. I'm just going to share a couple of the highlights, but she said Prada never raced, not because she wasn't capable, but because she was born at her owner's college and became a graduation gift instead of heading to the track. At just 15 hands, she stayed petite, but that hasn't held her back. She's a fully Western horse with no real interest in jumping, even though she once cleared a log from a standstill out on a trail. Her sweet spot is ranch versatility with a side hustle in barrel racing, and she's already won checks in the 2D and 3D. That's really impressive. While she's got the sensitivity and spice to be a hot-headed basket case, as her owner put it, she was trained like a ranch horse from day one, and that foundation gave her incredible manners and a strong work ethic. She's naturally uphill, big moving mare with a low headset. And while she's had to learn, work to learn to bend through her ribcage, she's now very adjustable, and she shows lovely lateral movement. Prada does have fibrotic myopathy and both hind legs, which can affect her movement when she's out of shape, especially at the walk or the lope. But when she's fit, it's a non-issue. Her stifles have also needed support through fitness. She's never been on a racetrack, and her early photos were taken when she had just come off after her first 60 days under saddle. The clipped photo we evaluated from when she was just coming back into work, and actually her owner clipped her herself, which I'm really admiring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recently, she was kicked in the hock and is currently rehabbing, but the plan is to breed her this year to the barrel sire, epically famous for an appendix quarter horse baby. We wish them best of luck with that. And just for fun, her owner is close friends with Flu Powder's owner, and they love comparing notes. Turns out these mares are cut from a similar cloth. Prada might not be everyone's ride, but she's absolutely adored, incredibly safe on the ground, and has that rare mix of kindness and grit that makes her unforgettable.
Yeah, that's awesome. I loved getting that update. And it was really interesting to compare them, the two horses, compare her to Flu Powder, who we evaluated in one of our earlier episodes. And I think they're actually going to put together a little side-by-side comparison of confirmation.
That'll be fun.
They're both through the exchange rate line, and it seems there's quite a strong stamp there. The next horse was what we were calling Zephyrine from owner Jasmine, and they do call her Z if she's being sweet, and Zephyrin apparently is how they pronounce it, not Zephyrine. I thought that was interesting. When she is not being sweet, they use her full name. She said the show announcers apparently say her name also all kinds of ways. So we can go with whichever pronunciation we want, but I'll try to say Zephyrin because that actually sounds cooler. So she said, you're right to guess that this mare has opinions. Jasmine confirmed she's fiery, tough, and not for the faint of heart. Definitely a pro ride. She said she would have felt sorry for any adult amateur that ended up with her. Hold on. I just resized my screen and now I lost where I was. Yes. And Jasmine is, I think, a pro event rider. Despite her big personality, Z has stayed sound, is extremely durable, and has never needed anything beyond routine hock injections. She's 16 hands, but built like a tank, takes up plenty of leg. While she has a lovely jump and enjoys showing off her extended trot, she's not naturally uphill and has a bit of that, what she calls bipolar mare energy, that she joked about. Some days she's confident in game, and others she acts like she's never seen a jump before. I've definitely had a couple of those types. Her training took time. She came off the track at 4, spent nearly a year in groundwork and flat work before even thinking about jumping. did event from ages 7 to 10, but was always a mental balancing act. She's just not the bravest. And Jasmine said she has low self-esteem and needs hand-holding every step of the way. So eventually they switched her to pure dressage, and her movement and presence really earned judges' compliments on her good days. But even then, she never really loved it. So these days at 13, she's semi-retired with a cushy lifestyle. She hacks out lightly, babysits Jasmine's upper-level mare from the next stall over, and enjoys what they call the hack-and-snack life. And she also said physically the mare could do it all, but mentally she's just not that interested. But she has a home for life, and they think she's living the dream. I have to agree.
Yeah, she sent some really cool follow-up photos that kind of represented the trials and tribulations and successes of their relationship together. And you can tell that it was very much a... when she wasn't there, she really wasn't there. But when she was very fancy.
It's awesome though, that they're able to accommodate her in her preferences there.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times we all kind of fall victim to this of wanting a certain discipline or a certain kind of pathway for our horses. And you can try it out for long enough to realize that that's just not the life for them. I think it says a lot about her owner trying to figure that out, and then also just giving her a quality retirement, the hack and snack life.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So their last person that we heard from was Kari, who owns Independent George. He's actually sadly passed away about 6 years ago due to an accident in the field. Fun fact, he was actually trained locally to us with Graham Notion, and one of our former guests, Sabrina Morris, actually galloped him.
Yes.
When he was in training. So she said it was really fun hearing about his breeding. She said she had always known that his sire was a big deal, but it was fun to learn more from your side. George definitely had a quirky personality, though, and calling him quirky was an understatement of the century. He was incredibly opinionated and smart, so much so that I had to convince him that every ride was his idea. I actually have known Kari for a really long time. I used to be a pretty intense blogger, and that's how we met, so to speak. And so I actually know like her entire journey with this horse, and he never gave anything he didn't want to give to his rider. She took him to the Badlands and rode him around. She'd take him on week-long camping trips and stuff like that. So I think they did learn to understand each other. And in the end, she said he was the kind of horse who needed somebody with a lot of patience, even to somewhat understand him. She says, I'd like to think that I did, but not many others could say the same. She said that she's got a whole collection of funny stories from people who worked with him on the track. One exercise rider told her that they were breezing one morning and everything was going beautifully until the other horse had to pull up. The moment that George realized he wasn't racing anyone anymore, he just stopped dead in his tracks and refused to go. She said that was so him. They also said that even in training, they always had to convince him that it was his idea to run. He had endless endurance and was incredibly sure-footed, like a mountain goat. We'd go on trail rides up to 20 miles, and the most memorable one was when we rode up to the top of Black Elk Peak in the Black Hills, the highest point between the Rockies and the Swiss Alps. That's incredible.
Yeah.
She said the safest place was always on his back. In front of him, danger. Behind him, danger. Next to him, also danger. But on him, solid gold. He'd bite you without warning, but if you tried to correct him, he was already ahead of you, correcting himself. Classic George. She said in all the years that she had him, he was never lame, barefoot the whole time, except for when they were in the Rocky Black Hills. Wow. She said he wasn't much of a jumper, but he was originally bought as a steeplechase horse, ran one race, and then was promptly sold. Let's just say he didn't exactly soar over obstacles, more like dragged himself over them with all the grace of a lumber wagon.
That's so funny.
She said, yes, he was named after George Costanza. He was originally meant to be named Independent Ridge, but once they got to know him, it was switched to Independent George.
That's
fitting.
So funny.
And honestly, apparently when he started training, they insisted on gelding him immediately. Something about him being a danger to himself and everybody else. She said that sounds about right. She said when he was with Graham Motion, he had quite a fan club as well. He was just a once-in-a-lifetime horse. A sports car with all the bells and whistles. Just one that had been parked in an old barn for a few years. A little rusty, but still full of fire. She said, sadly, we lost him when he broke his leg, trying and failing to jump a puddle by the gate and hit a post. Oh, there was nothing that they could do, and they had to say goodbye, but he's buried under his favorite tree in their pasture.
Oh.
he was just so dearly loved by her. And I know that Kari has dealt with a lot of confidence issues over the years. And I think that learning to get George into a partnership with her gave her a lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, he's
quite sometimes the really difficult ones have a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Moving on. All right, let's talk about this month's horses. First up is 50 Pesos, a sprint bred gelding with an incredible female family and a derby winning bottom side. Then there's Slew's Resurrection, who's Seattle Slew, Aladar, Graustark mix, just screams class and durability. And finally, Artie's Kryptonite, who brings in El Prado, Sadler's Wells, and Fappiano for a pedigree that might be one of the most exciting we've evaluated so far.
To hear our full evaluation of each horse, including a breakdown of their pedigree, confirmation, temperament trends, and second career suitability, please head to ottbontap.supercast.com and subscribe.
You can sign up for Backstretch Access for just $5 a month to get these evaluates episodes, or join us at the $10 insiders tier for even more bonus content like Neve's RRP journey with Go Green, video training tips, and exclusive behind the scenes conversations. Each subscription helps us keep the podcast going, and we're so thankful for each and every one of our subscribers.